section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What's going on with Double J? What's going on with Dave Bautista? And Off the Mark gives their 2014 predictions. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides a month's in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Will the WWE leave the NBC networks? What do you think about that, Aaron?
I gotta say no. I'm gonna throw that out there. I know you had hinted at it last week, and we wanted to save it to actually have a full discussion about it. And I gotta say this. WWE, of course, does bring in a lot of ratings for them. And, you know, one of the reasons they moved Raw to 3 hours is because of advertising. And it gave them more dollars, more eyeball views for the TV show, in particular for the network. Then that helps them out in the long run. And I know that WWE, it's a negotiation tactic. I see no reason that they would leave the USA Network, or I should say the NBC line of networks again.
You mean the NBC Universal?
NBC Universal, yes.
Yeah, I it is just all ploy. What they're doing is they just want to see how much more money they can get out of NBC because they have, you know, two shows that are big time on there. And I'm also wondering if they're going to try and get them to air a third or fourth show as well besides just the two. I mean, you do have ION, you know, ION I think is actually part of the NBC family if I'm correct. And they do air Main Event, but how would you like to have, I don't know, have not NBC, but have another one of their affiliates actually run another show besides Total Divas, as in maybe NXT, maybe, oh gosh, I don't know, Superstars, you know, something along those lines where they get an extra time slot. But, you know, it's just one of those things that it depends on what's also going on with the WWE Network.
Well, let me ask you this. For NXT in particular, it's about an hour long for the show, correct?
It's an hour, yeah.
Hour long for the show. You know, that's something that like ION could probably use because let's just be honest here. Main Event, you don't watch it. You know, people typically don't watch it. I would love to see the ratings on them because I assume that they are going to be very, very low because it's not advancing storyline. It is only wrestling in there. And then it's a recap of Raw and of SmackDown, which is stuff that you probably have already seen. So realistically, it's a show that you shouldn't watch. However, though, you have someone like NXT, which is its own show. It is its own brand. And you have people who are wrestling for an NXT title. They're not wrestling for a WWE title. They're not wrestling for a US or IC title. It's very, very different. So I actually think that NXT would be the perfect show because that way you expose it to more people. Only having it on the internet, you're not going to expose it to a lot of people. You will be able to see.
In the United States, though, it's only on the internet. Yes. But if you go anywhere else, Canada, Mexico, Europe, they actually will air the show and you get to see it. And it's a different show than what you see on Hulu. Completely. It's actually a lot of times like the Hulu show is usually, you know, 50 minutes up to 60 minutes. And the ones that they air anywhere else are usually 42 minutes. So it is a little bit different. You know, ION could use something like that. And in fact, people could be like, wow, did you see such wrestle on NXT? Man, they better call that person up.
Yeah.
And I think you also get interest in, well, you know what? Actually, there's probably a reason I think about it. Because US is probably their biggest market. If they saw someone like Paige or Zayn or Neville, and they see those guys, how great they are and how great they're in the ring, you think they want them up and be pushing it. But then you have to take three people out from the main roster.
Yeah, but, you know, if somebody's ready, they're ready. And you don't want to, like, have somebody just stay down in NXT if you can have them be in the full WWE roster. But, Andy, I wanted to ask you about the WWE Violation Wellness Program. And this is something we may have talked about it in the past, but I kind of want to talk about it a little bit more based on the current circumstances. So, you know, the Violation Program in particular, you know, three strikes, you're out. You know, at one strike, 30 days, two strikes, 60, three strikes, you're done for a full year. Before you could potentially come back to the WWE. However, though, they made an addendum to it, and they went ahead and said 18 months without a violation gives you a clean slate, And this program started in November of 2013. So it started, you know, just a month ago. Do you think that this has something to do with Randy Orton as the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
It's all about him. Because when you see that, okay, your champion, technically, if he gets busted for anything, it doesn't matter what it is, he gets busted, he's done for a full year. That means he can't be on TV. He can't be your champion anymore. He has to drop the belts, and then you know why. And then he has to set up for a full year. This, they're probably going to backdate for him. And there are a couple other wrestlers, like Ricardo Rodriguez, who got busted for taking something that is for weight loss.
Rey Mysterio, another one.
Rey Mysterio will have a clean slate then, too, because it's been 18 months. Oh, gosh. There's multiple ones I'm forgetting. Probably not Bros Clay.
there's actually quite a few, you know, for heavy drug use, not recreational. But, you know, I got to agree with you. I think that this is definitely what we would call a Randy Orton rule.
Yes.
So, Andy, the other thing, too, is Vince McMahon said in a production meeting that he is looking to not have faces or heels anymore. And so it kind of sounds like they're going back to a late 90s mentality of shades of gray. What do you think of that move, if that happens?
Well, if they do that, they kind of teased it, I thought, on Raw with the whole thing with the O'Neal and
Titus O'Neal and Darren Young.
Thank you.
Primetime players.
The primetime players. They teased it because Darren Young was getting booed, but Titus O'Neal's getting cheered. But then they kind of drew that line where people were like, should I cheer or not? For what he just said. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't surprise me if that's what he's trying to do. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, I think, is the best example. People love him, but then he'll do heel stuff, then they'll hate him, but then he'll do something good, and then people will love him. So, you know, he just jumps all over the place. So that's a good one.
You know, I'll say I prefer the shades of gray. I don't want to say no faces or heels, but I definitely prefer shades of gray. You know, you definitely have somebody who is the good guy, somebody who is the bad guy. But you can have, like you mentioned, you know, Dolph Ziggler, I think, is a perfect example of somebody who is he's cheered more than he's booed. And I think that those are I think that's really important for character development, because it can actually show different sides of them. And, you know, with John Cena, people don't hate John Cena because he's John Cena. People hate him because he's one dimensional. He's the good guy. And he would be one of the most perfect characters that you could turn into a, you know, good guy who, you know, has a little bit of an edge to him. And I think that'd be a good example for it.
You think John Cena's, well, I guess because he is one dimensional, I guess that is a good way of putting it.
I'm not saying turn him into a shade of gray. I'm saying good guy, but, you know, he has that a little bit of an edge to him.
I see. So the biggest news, I think, actually, of the, well, the holidays, really, is that Jeff Jarrett announced that he is parting ways with TNA. Now, the one thing they didn't state was, did he part ways with his ownership, or is he just going to be an owner of the company?
You know, they said that he parted ways, so I don't know if he's stepping down for good or not, because that would be important. If he is stepping down for good, then, you know, obviously, you know, he's letting go of his shares of the company, and, you know, he's going to move on to greener pastures, or just, you know, to a different promotion of some sort. You know, I don't think he's old enough now where he probably isn't going to be wrestling, so he's not going to go to a WWE, but he could be a promoter somewhere. He could, you know, do, you know, agent stuff backstage. You know, WWE could use him, even though there's bad blood there, and I understand that business before that.
That's right, because Vince has fired people and then taken them back years later because he wants to do what's best for business. So it wouldn't surprise me. At one point, Jeff Jarrett, I mean, I still remember the promos. That's J-E-double-F. Yeah. You know, I still remember those horrible promos that he used to do. And the first time that Jeff Jarrett said he was going to sing, I still remember that. But yeah, it's kind of big news. The other thing also is that AJ Styles might be returning to TNA. There have been more and more talks about it. And I, you know, in a way, I kind of hope he doesn't return to TNA.
Really? Why is that?
Why not, if the ratings don't change and it's the same crowd watching the show either way? Why pay someone, you know, what you could bring in six other guys in to, you know, for? If you pay him $300,000 or $400,000 a year, you could bring five or six guys in and they can make that exact amount, but you could have two or three tag teams out of that as well. You could also have 40 jobbers, depending on how you look at it as well.
All right. Well, let me ask you, instead of AJ Styles, well, who is TNA right now? Like, when you think TNA...
You make someone TNA. Well,
okay, give me your five people right now who is TNA.
Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Magnus, Bobby Roode, and James Storm.
Okay. So,
I forgot about Kurt Angle.
You know, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, another really good one. But still, good cast of characters right there. However, though, when I think TNA, the very, very first person that comes to mind is AJ Styles. After him, I would say Samoa Joe, probably Robert Roode. Austin Aries is another one I would throw out there. But nonetheless, AJ Styles is TNA. I said last week or 2 weeks ago, talking about WCW and Sting. I mean, look, Ric Flair was with WCW for the longest time, but when I think WCW, I think Sting, plain and simple. And I think that, you know, with something like this, if Sting wanted a certain amount of money, you pay him because he drew that. And AJ Styles draws that. Look, if TNA was out here and wherever I'm at, if it was in Illinois or Washington or wherever, and I could get tickets and easily go, I would go regardless of who was on the card. However, if AJ Styles was there, I would pay more to get closer in order to see the action because he is a guy that you want to see. And I think that, you know, TNA, for them, I think that they need to have AJ Styles because I think that he does have a little bit of star power. And this storyline may have actually boosted him up a little bit.
Yes and no. It has boosted him a little bit. I'll agree with that. But let's just say that, again, you hire him back, and then the ratings start to slowly go down because of him. Do you blame him for that, or do you blame that wrestling fans just don't want to see him anymore because they're kind of over him by now?
I wouldn't say it would have anything to do with him. I would think that it would have something to do more with the storylines that they put him in. I actually really like the current storyline that has not completely aired yet. That is going to air here shortly. But it actually seems like a really good storyline. And if he comes back, they could have a potentially really awesome return where the fans just erupt and you just plaster that everywhere. You show how these fans are going nuts to see AJ Styles. And then maybe a casual wrestling fan who knows who John Cena is will look at this guy and go, whoa, he's different. You know, in the same way that you looked at Hulk Hogan, but then you saw Stone Cold, and you go, wait, this guy's very different. This guy is breaking the rules. You know, it's not about taking your vitamins. You know, this guy is flipping off his boss, and he's drinking beer. And I'm not saying that AJ Styles is that guy, but he's a contrast to John Cena to the point that I actually think that a casual wrestling fan may tune into TNA because they like AJ Styles.
I can go a lot longer and convince you on my ways, but that's what we're going to have to be a weekly topic. Let's talk about WWE program for this week. So Raw is exactly what I thought it was going to be. 25 minutes. I watched two and a half hours of wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. It was that bad that, I just could care less.
Yeah, it is exactly what you expected it to be. And I think that these types of Christmas shows, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks back about TNA doing the Thanksgiving show because we said, look, you know, their ratings are going to be in the toilet. Why even bother doing it? And next year, they're going to have Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day all on Thursday. And so why even bother doing it? And I got to say, look, you know, I think when Raw's on Christmas, you know, like when it falls on a Monday, I think you should just take the week off. You know, I understand, look, they won't because of advertising and everything like that. They'll still get like a 1.0 rating. But man, there was no point in watching this. None whatsoever.
No, yeah, you could have gotten rid of this. And, you know, they had so many tag matches. And you could tell also they did a TNA trick where they basically took a match and spaced it over three segments, two commercial breaks, that really could have been done over one, not two.
Mm-hmm. There was one thing, though, that they announced on Raw.
And the only reason they announced it is because it got leaked by, I'm guessing some in the WWE, by complete mistake. They didn't realize it. That's that Dave Batista, the Deacon, is actually advertised return on the 20th of January, 2014, which is kind of a big deal.
I think it's a really big deal.
How did he leave the WWE the first time?
Well, most recently.
Oh, yeah, the most recent one.
The most recent one. He was in a pink polo, if I remember correctly, in a wheelchair after the I Quit match with John Cena. And he's like, fine, I'll just leave. And then he left.
Hilarious.
And so he's going to come back. And I actually wonder who he's going to feud with. Does he go straight for John Cena again? Or does he go with Randy Orton?
You're going to probably put him with Orton because he's probably only going to work like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And he's going to probably require at least two big pay-per-view wins. So he will not win the first one, of course, against Randy Orton. And then he'll win a match inside the Elimination Chamber, but then get pinned by someone else. So then he doesn't face Randy Orton anymore. Then at WrestleMania, he'll wrestle someone. It doesn't matter who it is. Zack Ryder.
But are you excited for his return?
No.
Like, you know now he's returning. You're not excited at all.
Could care.
Would it have been a bigger surprise had he just shown up?
Yes.
So he just shows up and then you're like, wow.
It would have been like, oh, that's really cool. Why did you come back?
Really? You have no interest in Batista?
No interest. Wow. I don't think he's a draw. I don't think that you would spike any ratings by him coming in. I think you'd have more ratings coming in if you had Bill Goldberg come back.
I would agree with that.
But Bill Goldberg also requires a lot of money.
Yes. I think Batista is a little bit of a draw. He's not a draw in the sense of The Rock or Goldberg or Brock Lesnar. Because when you think about those people, look, like you see The Rock is going to be there. You watch it. You see Lesnar is going to be there and you go, wow, I want to see what he's going to do, what storyline they're going to put him in. Batista, yeah, I want to see it, but I'm not gonna go crazy for it. Some other people might, though. So,
you know, that's the final Raw before Royal Rumble, so he's probably gonna announce that he's gonna be in for Royal Rumble, but who knows? But let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find a web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. And also make sure you check out 6J6 Off the Mark page. You're going to see a banner for WSHAP.com, and you're going to see a deal, a code on that banner for an awesome deal. Remember that code, click on that banner, and then when you check out at WSHAP.com, you're going to save a bunch of money on your order. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. So Park and EY defeat Bad Influence. So is Joseph going to be Abyss and they're finally going to cancel the storyline that's been going on for way too long?
Yeah, I don't know if it's been going on for too long. I actually kind of enjoyed this one. Surprisingly, I normally would be the first to say, wow, this went on 2 months too long, 3 months, whatever. This actually wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It looks like they are going to get to a conclusion very soon and Abyss will be back for good. So that way, as you mentioned earlier, one of the five people you think about, Abyss, he'll actually be back for good.
Yeah, but the thing is, he doesn't make AJ Styles money. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, so I'm actually excited about this. I think EY, it's great to see that he's actually, I consider in an upper mid card, I guess, a showcase for him. That's why I'm excited, because I think Eric Young is actually a decent wrestler. And I think that he's been overlooked his entire life. And then all of a sudden he goes to the comedic form of his art. And I think it just changed things around. So I don't understand Rockstar Spud still. I just don't get him. I mean,
he's Dixie's assistant.
But he's been wrestling for a while now, and I've seen some of his like matches. It's just one of those things. Like, I don't know why he's with them. It seems like they only picked him up because he was British.
Yes,
and I think, I could be wrong, but I think for some reason the WWE had some interest in him.
Yeah, I don't know if WWE did. I actually think he's funny. I honestly do. The segment where he was going to AJ Styles' place and he was the fish out of water. You know, he's the Brit that's in, you know, kind of backwoods country, Georgia. And, you know, he was asking for a hoity-toity drink and they, you know, gave him a beer, like a Miller Lite or something. And it was kind of funny. You know, I actually enjoyed that. And I think that he is a perfect character, kind of like Brad Maddox, that you can beat up upon. The difference is Brad Maddox, I don't like. I don't find him funny. I don't think that he's a good actor. I actually think he's horrible. And, you know, I haven't seen him on TV in a while, and he's still supposed to be the Raw GM. Rockstar Spud is a, you know, assistant to Dixie Carter, and that's it. And so he's a guy who's a wrestler who you can beat up on. So if somebody doesn't like Dixie, they can beat up on Rockstar Spud, who will be the punching bag for everybody in TNA. That's what I
thought he already was.
Well, of course.
Anyways. Yeah, so Storm and Gunner, they battle to a double count out. I don't get this thing with them.
Well, they were a tag team.
Yeah, but I just don't get the thing. Like, why are they... This is going on... It feels like it's been going on way too long.
This has been going on for very short period of time.
It feels like it's been going on for 6 weeks.
Well, them feuding, or...
The start of the feud with the white towel, them throwing the white towel.
It's like 4 weeks, yeah. 4 to 6 weeks.
It just seems like it's going too long. They should have just done, turning point.
You don't think this will elevate both members?
Not Gunner. It won't do anything for Storm either. If he puts over Gunner, it's going to make Gunner look a little bit bigger. But then James Storm, he's going to look weak, I think.
I disagree. I think that it's going to help both men out, but in particular, it will help out Storm more. I think it's put him into a more interesting storyline, because what other storylines can you think about? There's one. That's it. His feud with Rude. That's the only storyline I can think of that was actually somewhat interesting. Maybe the tag team feud with Motor City Machine Guns. But other than that, no.
I'm actually thinking, you know, if you're talking with just James Storm, I guess you would have to say, you know, you're all right. But I guess to me, it's almost, I want more. Like, I guess for James Storm, I think there's more that they could do for him. But I think him putting over Gunner, he needs to have another feud or two established before he starts putting people over. Because if you look at it from certain aspects, Bobby Roode should be putting people over. Because I think Storm is hotter than Roode to a certain... Actually, I do believe that. I guess that's how I look at it. I guess Ric Flair at one point, and this is going back years ago for him, he started putting people over because he's like, I'm not going to wrestle that much longer, so I'm going to put people over. If James Storm is thinking that, James Storm is not the level that Flair ever was. Not even close. No, and he shouldn't even be brought in that same picture. Maybe Bobby Eaton picture, but that's it. So I guess that's how I look at it. He should be getting put over by someone else, not him putting over Gunner. Because realistically, Gunner, you can plug and play another guy anywhere. Bring Chris Jericho in and you can get rid of Gunner. I guess that's the other way of looking at it.
So, Andy, the other big thing that happened was Jeff Hardy lost to EC3 and a few other people, but in particular EC3. And then he said that it was his final match.
Oh, you know why, right?
Why?
He can't travel to the UK. The same thing happened last year.
When he was the, you know, TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yep. And he got his quote-unquote butt kicked. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't appear over there because he's not allowed to come to the country still. Because he's a felon, right? He has a felony on his record?
I believe it's a felony, yeah.
And because of that, he can't travel into the United Kingdom, which I find still weird because you'd think that they would make special exceptions if he's going there for work and he's basically there for just work and nothing else. But, oh well.
You know, it's unfortunate, but my question to you is, when does Jeff Hardy return?
Jeff Hardy returns in March.
I will say April.
You're going to say April at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania.
He did sign a contract extension a few weeks back. So he is going to be with TNA for a little bit longer or until they fold, depending on who you talk to. Or when they get bought out.
Well, and we might find out here in just a second because we've come to our annual prediction show. So this year, obviously, it's going to be our 2014 predictions. We just went over our 2013 predictions last week. So, Andy, I got to ask you, 2014 predictions, do you have some good ones?
Well, I had one, but I didn't look at the doc before we started recording. So I'm going to say this because I have 11 now, but one was a super softball one. I'm going to throw it out there. I just stated that WWE is going to get their biggest TV rights deal ever because and they're going to stay with NBC was going to be is the part of it.
Okay.
But anyways, so I'm going to that's just a softball. I'd say that we probably both agree on that. Anyway, so my number one thing, I can't believe I'm saying this, but TNA does not fold. They stay in business through all of 2014.
Interesting. I am predicting that TNA will get sold.
Ooh.
Get sold. It doesn't matter to who. It doesn't have to be WWE.
Is it majority stake sold?
I'm going to say that there will be some. There will be a party who gets a large chunk of TNA.
51%?
It doesn't have to be 51. I'm just saying a large chunk. So, for example, I don't know how much Jeff Jarrett owns. Let's say he owns 30%.
I heard anywhere between 9 and 12%.
Okay. Well, let's say he sells 10% then. Let's say I'm going to say that somebody buys 10% of TNA then or more. So I believe that TNA, they will be sold in some capacity like that.
All right. So my number two is that Goldberg does not face Ryback. I'm sorry. That he does not face Ryback at WrestleMania 29.
And you know what? You are correct, Andy. You are correct.
Darn, I was trying to slip that in at WrestleMania 30.
All right. This might be a little softball, but WWE Channel finally launches successfully.
Ooh, there's the key word. All right. I have my number three is that a WWE superstar jumps to TNA, and it cannot be JTG.
Okay. I like that one. I like that one. TNA suffers big setbacks, and in parentheses, I have losing talent or pushes not working. So, for example, Magnus, you know, he is the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Bust.
But I'm saying that, like, big pushes don't work. So, for example, he may not work as a champion. So I think that they're going to suffer some big setbacks in that regard.
All right. The next one I have is AJ Styles and Sting re-sign with TNA.
That might be a little bit of a softball.
It's both.
Yeah, it is both. And I do want to point one thing out. I wrote these 2 weeks ago. So some of these, you know, not necessarily happen, but some of them may sound, you know, like that. So next one on my list, I have Money in the Bank winner will not be an up and coming wrestler. Instead, it's going to be a very established superstar. So I believe that it's not going to be like a Damian Sandow. It's going to be more like a CM Punk.
Interesting. I have my number five is that JTG is not going to resign with the WWE.
He's not going to resign.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, word for word there. The Royal Rumble winner will be a top tier talent. So it would be a top five person within the WWE. In other words, like John Cena, CM Punk, Batista now. Randy Orton, but you know, like one of the Daniel Bryan, you know, one of those guys, top tier talent will not be up and coming. Also,
gosh, maybe I should save this one. I got a really good one.
Well, you then save it.
That'll be my last one. Okay. And my next one is the WWE Network actually launches, except it's not on TV.
That's not a prediction that they already said that.
Nah, I just got that they actually launch and people are happy about it.
Okay. WWE to steal more Ring of Honor talent.
I think you're wrong.
Really? You don't think that they've stolen a ton of their talent? CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
Nah.
You know, El Generico.
And speaking of that, my number seven is that Paige and Sami Zayn both get called up from NXT.
All right. That's good. My next one, Ring of Honor stays a niche promotion. In other words, the WWE Farm League.
The ECW of its time?
Yes.
Okay. My number, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I think it's my number eight. Is your number eight next?
Eight, nine, ten. Yep.
Okay. Eight. The US and IC titles are not unified.
Oh, that's actually a really good one. That one, that was a very good one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right. You know, I'm gonna save this one for a little bit later. But another one, and you know, this is a little bit of a softball, but AJ Styles returns to TNA. And this was, like I said, I did this 2 weeks ago.
Softball. Sorry, I'm actually messing up. My numbers all messed up. All right. Okay.
You have two more.
I have two more? Okay, then I have gone over this one. Whoops. I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit out of order here. Okay. NXT airs on US cable TV.
Hmm. So as we talked about earlier, it'd be a good idea. Actually, that might happen. So I'm going to save my ballsiest one for last, but the wrestling industry continues to decline. You know, of course, it's just been very stagnant. You know, you could say it declines because it's not getting better. You know, typically you want to see growth within an industry, and wrestling hasn't seen that. And I think that a lot of people are just bored by it, and the only people that watch it really are wrestling fans. So I'm going to say that the wrestling industry continues to decline.
Well, I have my final one that this is the one that I forgot earlier, but I had to remember it. See, mine's so good, I actually want you to go next.
All right. My ballsy one, Shane McMahon returns to wrestling.
Ooh, that would be really interesting. But you know what's going to be even more interesting is when TNA starts their own Attitude Era.
Really?
Yep.
How do they start their own Attitude Era?
Well, the WWE did it. Why not bring it back? 365 with Attitude.
Okay. 365 is stupid, though. But with Attitude, I can totally get behind that. But WWE had a little bit more, and they had some originality. There was a lot of really dumb stuff, too. And they had also 4 hours of TV a week, so they had a lot of stuff that they could do. TNA only has two.
Plus the hour of Explosion.
Yeah, no one ever watches that, and it's not storyline-driven. Whereas you had Raw and SmackDown, which were storyline-driven.
Yeah, but I believe that there will be some type of attitude that gets brought up because of it. And it'll be known as the Attitude Era that they start, but I'm not saying they're going to succeed at it. It's just that it's going to happen.
Well, you know, I would be interested to see that. And I love the prediction show, so I look forward to next December where we go over it and we decide whether or not we were idiots or the most intelligent people in the room.
There's too many softballs this year.
Probably, yeah.
So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.